It is pretty exciting. You know, this has been an invitation that we've had for millennia now to enter into the celebration of Christ's birth. And it's just a wondrous invitation. You know, this morning we've had scriptures which talk about the entry of love into this world. And it was a love that came before the magi, before the sheep. At the very beginning of creation, love entered the world. But then at Christmas Day, it entered again, wrapped in flesh as Jesus. And it's a story that has just so enchanted us and made us so joyful that for over 2,000 years we have created all of these amazing traditions and celebrations that give life to the joy, to the happiness, to the hope that we have because of this day. But it's also a day that we wait for. And we've been waiting, haven't we? You know, I'm sure for some of us here, Katie and various people, it's been a long wait. You know, who here have, what have people been waiting for? What are some of the things that you've been waiting for this day?
A baby.
A baby, and it came. The wait is over. Hallelujah. You can congratulate new great-grandparents and grandparents over there and auntie. That's exciting. What else? What else have we been waiting for? Presents. A break from work.
Holidays.
Gathering with people that you love. Yep. All sorts of things. Who here has presents that have been, that are already been unwrapped? Yep. Who here have got some presents still waiting at home for you? Yep. Great. Well, let's keep the waiting to a minimum and we'll pray so you can get out of here and get them. Oh, God of manger, straw, and of swaddle cloth, you are a God of holy nights and joyfully chaotic mornings. And we thank you for accompanying us through this long wait. And there are those here who are still waiting to get through this day. And we thank you that we will continue to accompany them through each moment of it. Lord, the hustle and bustle of this time of year and of the day can be more than distracting. So for this moment, we ask that you still our busy hearts, that you quieten our minds. Help us to sink deeply into this day. Help us to pause here, to linger here as we hear your good news spoken over us. Because God, we long to know you. So with grateful hearts we pray, and with grateful hearts we listen for you. Amen. So this Advent, if you have been, we'll go to the next slide. Wayne, thank you. Wow. This Advent, if you have been journeying with us, you'll know that one of the themes that we have been exploring is this theme of waiting. And we have waited as a way to echo that wait of Israel for the Messiah. You're spending time with them that they're lamenting that this world is still in disarray. They're waiting for a time when that world is going to turn. Just like that song we just sang, and those were the words of Mary as she is dancing and just excited, understanding the Saviour that was inside her. And so we stopped and we waited a while with Mary, and we took hope, I hope, a little bit, that although Mary was reticent and she was frightened at first, we saw that God understood her. And he gave her agency, the ability to consent, to be drawn into his plan. And God does that with all of us. He calls us all to participate with him, but he understands us. He understands our fear. He understands our need to wait. And he gives us agency and waits for us. And then we stopped and we waited a little while with Joseph, with Adam's sermon. And I hope we took courage with him. Because he was a man who sought to be righteous and to do what was right according to the law. But as he waited, and as the angel came to him, he had a revelation that actually righteousness goes beyond just doing the letter of the law. And it's acting out in true submitted obedience to God. Choosing to do the right thing at personal cost. We had the much awaited for Christmas children's extravaganza. Who was here for that one? I loved it. It was brilliant. It was so brilliant that I am awaiting the next one. Sorry, Abby. You know. But for those of us who are here who think we have just waited too long for Christmas and thought it would never come, I just want to spend just a few minutes, not very long, looking at a couple of people who'd waited for the arrival of the Messiah for much longer than we've waited over Advent. So I'm going to read about them from Luke chapter 2. So when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So he would have been, Jesus would have been about 40 days old here. And you can read back in Exodus, you can read back in Leviticus if you want to know what those rites were. But Jesus was about 40 days old here. And then it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him into his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. Because I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people Israel. So Simeon lived in Jerusalem in a time where people were eagerly awaiting the Messiah, the anointed one. But the time of the Messiah's arrival was unknown. Even the most wisest of prophets had no idea when it would actually be. So people awaited, and they didn't know exactly when, and they didn't know how. They didn't know whether he would come on a white horse or whether he would come leading a battalion before him. But they knew what the scriptures said about what he would do when he did come. He would restore the nation. He would bring back people from exile. He would make the nation safe. And in fact, he would gather all nations to himself. He would set up a fair government. He would rule with righteousness, and he would bring peace and happiness. So even though the people didn't have a clear understanding of when or what he would look like, they knew it would look like a better time. And at some time earlier in his life, Simeon had it revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would see this coming king, before he died. What extraordinary news! And Simeon waited. We aren't told how long, but we get the sense with his response here that he's aged now. He knows that his days are coming to a close. And yet he waits. And he has to keep waiting until that day that he is inspired to go to the temple at the time that Joseph and Mary are presenting Jesus. And who knows how it happened? But Simeon saw that baby from across a crowded courtyard, and he knew by the Spirit, and he went and he took him into his arms. This is the one reading we get where someone is holding the baby Jesus. Simeon took the baby into his arms, and praise God, he knew that the wait was over. Somewhere in that embrace, Simeon became aware that in fact Israel's Messiah was in fact Simeon's personal Messiah. That Emmanuel, God with us, was for Simeon God with me and can be for each of us today too. And Simeon was at peace. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. You know, Simeon's wait was over, and he lived the declaration of it. And then we have the story of Anna, who encountered Jesus that same day. So again, reading from Luke 2. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, so she'd only been married for 7 years, and then was a widow until she was 84. And she never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God. And then she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And again, one of the things I love about this Christmas story is that there is room for all in this story, from the newborn to someone not so newborn. 84. It goes further than that, Barbara, as well. You're not excluded. But there's not only room for all, there is a role for all. Anna continued to have an important role, declaring and talking about this child to all who were looking for the consolation of Israel. You know, it's this prophetess who had had a revelation of who Jesus was. And she didn't wait to see how his life would fulfill these promises and these dreams. Sorry, I'm distracted by a Rudolph up there at the... It's brilliant. But she didn't need to see how things would turn out. At 84, in the year that Jesus was born, I don't think it very probable that she was still on this earth as Jesus went into his time of ministry and then died and rose again. But still she knew that the waiting was over, and she lived it and she declared it to all who were looking for the world to turn. So today, this morning, we are all part of Simeon and Anna's audience. You know, for each of us here, I think there are parts of our life, parts of the world that we recognize still need rescue. There are wrongs that need to be made right. There are sufferings that need to be over. There is justice still to be realized. But for us this morning, Simeon and Anna both point us to this child. And they repeat their message to us. He is our everything. He is our consolation. And there is no shortage in him. Isaiah 9, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. You know, everything about the Christmas story is a little bit unexpected. Well, it's more than a little bit unexpected, I think. It's more than a little bit extraordinary. The King of Kings didn't come into the world riding on a white horse. He came as a helpless babe who couldn't lift his own head. He wasn't born in a palace. There was no room for him in the guest room. He was born amongst the animals. Angels didn't appear to princes or the governor. They appeared to shepherds in a field. And it wasn't royal heralds that announced the royal birth, but it was an aged man and woman, Simeon and Anna. But announce it they did. It says, to all who were willing to hear, they said, the wait is over. And as the audience today, they're telling us the wait is over. So as we leave here today, the challenge for us is to live like the wait is over. The wait is over today, and the wait is over tomorrow, and on throughout the year. To be this royal priesthood representing Jesus to all, just as Simeon and Anna did. You know, Christmas for believers has never promised to soothe every pain or cure every ill. We all know that too deeply, too personally. But Christmas is this grand miracle that makes space for all the many other little miracles that do happen in our lives throughout the year. It gives us just enough hope to walk a little bit further in that dark space towards that glimmer of light that nothing can damp out. It gives us the strength and the courage and the conviction to join with God as he beckons us into his world-turning plans. Christmas is, in the words of John that we heard earlier through the spoken word poem, Christmas lets us know that there's not only room for all in God's big story, but there is a role for all. Nobody is without value. Nobody is left out. Christmas lets us know that there is hope for all, that there is love for all. And Christmas lets us know that as we bundle up this hope, this good news, and we pass it on from generation to generation, to our children, our grandchildren, our neighbours, and the wider world, that our voice can make a difference. The wait is over. You know, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, in the day of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. But I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. Christmas is here. Christ has come. Go and live like that is so. Tell the story of love come, one that makes room for all. Continue to sing throughout the day of the story of a love that knows our name. Yawn the story and live the story today and every day, because love has come and love will come again. You want to say?